Well, hello, good evening, and welcome to the fifth Plymouth Argyle podcast. This is Jim from theoffside.com, apologising profusely for having been away for so long. It's been, too depressing for words doesn't really cover it, does it? The official end of the playoff dream. It's now mathematically impossible, in case you've been living in a time warp, for us to make the playoffs now. In one sense, I suppose that is a bit of a relief. No one has to plan or rearrange any holiday time around the middle of next month. But to be honest, the performances over the last five or six games really have not been what we would expect or want or frankly deserve. You know, as paying supporters, people who paid an awful lot of money to go and see those last five or six games, you know, that investment, that commitment has not, to be brutal, been matched by either the commitment on the pitch by some players or, you know, frankly, the financial support of the board. You know, I don't necessarily want to get into that now, but I don't think that the board have shown, you know, the same level of commitment that the fan base have. Certainly the hardcore. I know there's an argument about apathetic janitors and all of that, but you know, those of us who actually go deserve better. That is the bottom line. And you know, I hope very much that the arrival of the Japanese contingent onto the board will make a difference in terms of investment into the playing side. I was not assured, but encouraged by a conversation I had with my one insider contact at Argyle, who was always very discreet with me, who said that it was his understanding that more money would be available for the playing staff. Though, you know, he didn't have any kind of concrete conversations to support that, just his general impression. Let's wait and see. If so, all well and good. And it's also been encouraging, at least on that front, to see Paul Sturrock talking candidly on the website about the fact that we need new players. And I think anyone who's seen even 5 minutes of an Argyle game is going to be able to pinpoint where we need at least one, probably two, central midfield players. Because the ones that we've got simply aren't up to it or they're injured. Nalas's legs have gone. Watton is still returning from, you know, his long layoff, and you know, is it time? Maybe it is to nail my colours. I love Paul Watton to death, but and he certainly, you know, his name will be up there on the honours board. But I think his time as a Plymouth Argyle central midfielder has gone now, and I think we need to move on. He just doesn't have either. Brutally, the strength in the tackle and, you know, the vision to play the defensive midfield role or the passing ability to play the creative midfielder. I think, you know, people sometimes see the role of the defensive midfield player as to be just a simple spoiler, you know, the breaker-up of play. And that is probably true in League One, but I don't think that's true in the Championship. If you look at some of the teams who play with a defensive midfield, which means most, if not all of them, they're actually a good deal more than that. And a real case in point is Preston on Saturday. They played with Chaplow and, what's the guy called? I can see him now. Sedgwick in central midfielder, Wolf 7. Chadwick, and, not Chadwick, Chaplow, Richard Chaplow, and Chris Sedgwick in the middle of the field. And Chaplow was the guy bombing up and down, and you know, playing a little bit in the David Norris role, and Sedgwick was the spoiler, but he was actually picking the ball up from the back, looking for the pass, and opening the play up as well as doing all the wood and water carrying. And I think one of the problems we've had in the past with our, you know, the way we've envisioned the team. I can't talk tonight, and I promise you I haven't anything to drink. The way we've envisioned the team in the past is to have a simple wood and water carrier and a creative guy, or alternatively, two hod carriers. And I thought we were cruelly exposed both on Saturday against Preston and even more obviously against Charlton, where we were a man up. And our midfield of Patterson, Watton, Abdou and Hamosi were cruelly taken to the cleaners by Matt Holland, pretty much on his own. And Holland is an experienced and talented player, with years of Prem experience behind him. But that's what we need. We need a defensive midfielder with a bit of vision, capable of picking the ball up from the back and starting something, and a creative guy with a passing range and energy. And Watton, doesn't fit either of those bills. Neither, to be fair, I think does Jimmy Abdou. The guys I sit with are big Abdou fans, and I am too in a way. He's got, bundles of energy, and he was certainly putting a shift in on Saturday, and more than once, his efforts almost bore fruit, and he was playing all over the place, wherever he was asked to, and some places he manifestly wasn't. But I just don't think that he has the touch on the ball, or the strength in the tackle. And again, you see, like Watton, I mean, for physical guys, actually they lose too many tackles. And I think if we're going to kick on, if we're going to progress, if we're not going to get sucked into the relegation battle, then I think an awful lot of people fear we need a different midfield setup. Now, Yoann Folley, okay, the jury's still out on him. He's had this kind of mystery virus, but he was talked up a week, 10 days ago for the Sheffield Wednesday game, and didn't even make the bench. And what's going on there? Apparently, he did really well in the reserves. Apparently, he did really well in training. Why isn't he getting even a place on the bench? Especially when the manager has said, in the press, yeah, he's close to selection. What's going on? And I know Sturridge's got a track record of winding the media up and then blindsiding them. All that heads will roll stuff, when he was here before. But that sort of stuff was all to no purpose. What was he trying to do? Psych Sheffield Wednesday out? Didn't make any sense to me, I'm afraid. Sandor, well, he hasn't appeared yet. He's been playing for the reserves. Someone has said to me, I don't know at all whether this is true or not, that he's not being played because there's a financial implication if he starts a game for Argyle, which, seems reasonably logical. You'd expect that maybe to be part of the deal. He's supposed to be this the creative answer to our problems, isn't he? The Bouzaki replacement. If he's fit and if he's turning a shift in the reserve game, can we really not afford to take a shot at it, particularly when the playoffs dream was still alive? Why didn't he start against Charlton? When the game was crying out for someone to open it up and to add that little bit of extra quality that we so desperately, desperately, desperately lack. Maybe Starrick has already made up his mind and he's on his way. Wouldn't surprise me at all, and they didn't want to incur the cost. But, in terms of the potential rewards that could have been on offer, I mean, only in financial terms as well. Surely, that was worth a little bit of a bet of whatever the Sandor appearance money was. Didn't make any sense to me. Luke Summerfield, unlike almost nobody else, I like Summerfield. I think he brings a different dimension to the team. I've seen him have some cracking games. I've also seen him have some stinkers. He's still, a youngish lad. What is he, 20, 21, something like that? Again, you've got to give the guy a chance to open it up, particularly if the other combinations aren't working. Nales, Watton, Abdou, it's just not cutting it. Whichever way you slice it, it's not cutting it. And that is a terrible metaphor, isn't it? I do apologise. I'm pretty tired. It's just not working, is what I'm saying to you. It's just not working. And we need to try something different. And Chris Clark in central midfield, we just get bypassed. The game just goes on around him, and I'm aware that his performances are markedly different when he's playing out wide, where he has a chance to maybe find a bit of space for himself, take on a fullback, and deliver a quality ball into the box. That's fair enough, but central midfield, no. So we need at least two new central midfield players, and we need a striker, at least one. I think Jamie Mackie is raw. I thought he played really well on Saturday. He ran himself to death, but he also ran himself into a number of cul-de-sacs. I don't want to give the guy a hard time for this, but with 2-1 up, he's clean through, and he's 2-1-1. All he's got to do is play Easter in, and it's 3-1 and it's game over. And he doesn't do it. He goes himself and loses. Doesn't even get a shot away. He gets beaten by a stronger and a better centre half than him. Ewell Mawoney and Trotman and no mugs at the back. And wasn't it galling to see Trotman come on? A guy who turned us down for Preston. I wasn't wild about that. But Mackie plays Easter, and I think that shows his naivety and inexperience. And fair enough, he's on a learning curve. Those people who were kind of setting him up to be the new 25 goal a season striker we've been crying out for, I think we're a season or two away from that yet. Jermaine Easter absolutely should be starting. Really, I thought his omission was a bit baffling. I think he's great, and he'd be pretty much first name on the team sheet for me after Hamosi, provided Hamosi's still here. Dot dot dot. Rory Fallon, well, like some people, I've really been impressed by the turnaround in Fallon's performance over the last sort of 5 or 6 weeks. I even thought he was slightly off his game yesterday. In fact, certainly from the standards he'd set himself. But he was putting himself about. He was causing Mawoney some hassle. He did his job. He won the ball and helped to hold it up. And as for Steve McLean, I thought the booing and cheering and abuse that he received from some of the Home Park faithful when he was substituted was a little short of disgraceful. I understand that he's not everybody's cup of tea. And in that respect, I think he reminds me of Stevie Crawford, who a lot of Argyle fans couldn't really get to grips with. I just observed that he's playing in out of position, and he's being asked to play a role that he's unfamiliar with in order to fit the Sturrock mould, a little way withdrawn from the main striker. Whereas he is, in fact, an out-and-out goal scorer, as his record at Sheffield Wednesday indicates. And also that he does an awful lot of work that goes unnoticed and unappreciated. Particularly in the first half, that good spell we had for about 20 minutes after we'd scored the goal, and looked for a little while as though we might go on and get another. It was McLean who was doing all the clever stuff, who was dropping deep to pick the ball off. Just little flicks and nudges that play people in, that he really does seem to specialise in. He gets an awful lot of hospital balls because the central midfielders, aren't able to find him as accurately or as quickly as he needs it. By the time he's getting the ball, he's already got two midfielders or central defenders up his backside, and he can't lay the ball off as quickly as he would like. Or he loses it in the tackle because, as I say, he's being fed the football equivalent of a hospital pass. But actually, all you get, this one guy in particular. I'm sorry if you listen to this, but really, if you do, you sit about three rows back from me. And every single game from the word go, he's on McLean's back. And it really is quite unsavoury and unnecessary. And I'm afraid, in my view, ill-informed. McLean is a class player. And with decent service, he will come good. And he will score a lot of goals for Argyle if he's allowed to play in the position that he's used to, or he will be an excellent link-up man for Argyle if we can get central midfielders who can find them with a pass fast enough. And this, it's actually fairly easy to diagnose Argyle's woes, isn't it? We simply don't pass the ball well enough, anything like, and that includes our distribution from the back, That includes our distribution from the wings, even, let it be said, premiership quality Peter Halmosi, his delivery, you know, from the byline, from the wide positions, you know, is not at the 75, 80% quality ball that you would expect for someone of his standard. Just isn't. Gary Teal has come in, although obviously he's not played so much recently because of his injury. Some of the balls he's delivered in have been great. Some have been shocking. Patterson, well, maybe. And Connolly is Connolly is Connolly. You know, you'll get one cracking cross and three poor ones. The midfield, you know, I've already gone out on about at length. And even the combination of the strikers, even, you know, Jermaine Easter, who's cracking and who I love to death, he can't always find the right pass. And there were two or three occasions where you think an average championship team would have completely opened up and exploited and scored. And we just didn't, because the killer pass just wasn't able to be found. It was intercepted, or it went out of play, or it was just, you know, behind the player. How many times have you sat there and watched this part in a really promising position, and the killer pass has gone behind the player running onto it? You know, it makes you weep. And I don't know, am I ever expecting second-tier professional footballers to be able to pass quickly and accurately to one another? Is that really so much to ask? Apparently it is. And it's that that kills us. At the end of the day, it's the fact that we don't pass well enough that has ended our playoffs hopes, rightly so. And, you know, it means that unless, I say, we get some quality players in, we're going to struggle. One thing that I haven't touched on, I think, other than that, is the defence. We've given away in the last two home games four comedy goals. And, you know, I don't want to heap any more criticism on Luke McCormick's head, because I think he's a good championship goalkeeper. Okay, he had an off day at Charlton, end of story, and he pretty much redeemed himself since, but we really are struggling at the back. And I can't remember, I'm sure somebody's able to remind me, but I can't remember the last time we kept a clean sheet. And it really wasn't pretty. Team are ducking for a routine ball hoofed forward, and there's a guy stood right behind him. I mean, it is comical. It really is. And, you know, it was a standard free kick into the box. And the guy, Meller, he was stood on his own, for goodness sake, with 10 seconds left. And what's that down to? You know, concentration? Just not communicating properly? What's going on out there? And obviously the Sipe thing hasn't helped. His calmness and composure have desperately been missed. And I think actually part of the problem is that for whatever reason, Timar and Anderson don't communicate as well as Timar and Sipe did. But something's got to be done. And please mark all those Gary Sawyer knockers out there who complain perfectly legitimately that an awful lot of our goals come down that side because he gives the right winger too much room. Patterson was doing exactly the same. And indeed, whenever Lee Hodges has played left back, he's done the same again. It's a coaching thing. It has to be. There's no other explanation. For some reason, the coaching, both under Sturrock and before, it's true under Holloway as well, you know, has been to play a narrow defence, to play the fullbacks narrow. And maybe that's just kind of fashionable in championship level tactics. I don't know if tactics have fashion. I'm sure they must. But that seems to be the thing at the moment, to play a narrow fullback so you four are tight to each other. And obviously you can see that there are some benefits to that in terms of a cohesive unit. What it does allow is wingers to get round the back. And any time we've been faced with a winger with any pace, we've been cut to death. And I thought, Neil Mellor and exploited us, and whoever it was who was playing right wing, was it? I can see his face now. McKenna for Preston on Saturday. You know, caused us a lot of grief. And, you know, given the choice, I think as things stand, Sawyer's a better bet than Patterson at left back, for my money. But I'm sure that doesn't accord with the manager's view. So there we are, doom, gloom, and despondency. When I get a chance, I'm going to podcast again, probably after the Blackpool game, and come up with a serious list of ins and outs in terms of the contract players and who I think we might be going for. If you've got any ideas, please do drop me an email at plymouth@theoffside.com, or more pertinently, send them into Home Park, mark for the attention of Mr. Stapleton, who so far, at least in the crowd, has been, I think, quite fortunate to escape his fair share of the crowd's wrath. I'm wondering how long that's going to last. Thanks very much for listening, and maybe we'll see you again. Keep it green.